This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Lech Lecha. Good evening. Wonderful Parsha. And this week I'm going to focus on only two ideas, one shorter and one longer. The first idea is goes back to the very first Pasuk of the Parsha. The Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha me'artzecha." Famous pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, Lech Lecha. This is one of the Asor Nisyonis, one of the 10 tests, one of the 10 challenges that was given to Avraham Avinu. The difficulty is, why exactly is it a test? That's the famous question everyone asks. We once discussed it, I think, in the past. But I want to share with you an answer I saw of the Shir Ma'on. But let me just explain the question. You see, Rashi tells us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Lech Lecha to Avraham Avinu, he made three promises to him. Let's do the Rashi together. Lech Lecha, says the Rashi in the next box. If you're listening online, please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com and Blinei will send you the handouts. Says Rashi, Lech Lecha lahanoscha l'tovoscha. It's for your benefit, it's for your good. V'sham escha l'goygodl, there I'll make you into a great nation. V'kani atazoich l'bonim, if you stay here, you won't have progeny, you won't have children. I will reveal your destiny in the world. The next pasuk says, I'll make you into a great nation, says Rashi. When a person travels, he travels in those days, you're on the road for months on end, it causes three things. It reduces the ability to grow a family. It reduces your finances, it depletes any money that you have. And it reduces your name, your reputation. If you pick up and move to a new place, you've got to start over, you've got to build your reputation from afresh. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bless Avraham Avinu. He promised him they'll have children, they'll have money, and they'll have a reputation. Because that's the thing. If you're leaving, you're gonna struggle with those three areas. You think about this. What exactly is the challenge? Rachmana Litzlan, if you have a person, people who are unable to have children, it's a tremendously difficult nisoyan. And they would go to any length to try and have children. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzma comes to a couple and he says to them, look, you stay here, you're not going to have children. Go to place B, you'll have children. Which couple wouldn't listen to him? It's not, you know, it's not just someone. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avraham Avinu. Next thing, he's going to have tremendous wealth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you go there, you'll win the lottery. I'll make you a tremendously wealthy person. And third of all, I'll give you your fame, your destiny, if you go to this place. I mean, who wouldn't go? What's the nisayon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido v'atzma promises Avraham Avinu fame, family, and fortune. Why wouldn't he go? What's the nisayon? So I saw an answer in the writings of the Shir Ma'on. The Shir Ma'on was Rav Shimon Sofer. He was a grandson of the Chasam Sofer, a son of the Ksav Sofer. Amazingly, he only died relatively recently. He died in the Auschwitz, in the Shoah. He was 94 years old. He had been a Rav for 65 years. And Nebuch, a 94-year-old man, was killed by the Nazis in Auschwitz. And he was a grandson of the Chasam Sofer. And in his Sefer, the Shir Ma'on, he answers this question. If you take a look at the box, it's nice doing it inside. Hagam Shezeh Hoyam Me'asar Nisyonis. Yes, Lech Lecha is one of the 10 Nisyonis. Im Kain, Yigdal HaNisoyen Yoseh, Leilech Me'artzim Lo Yavtiach LaKadosh Baruch Hu Tchila Shebe'eretz Yisrael Sheyelech Shama Yelo Kol Tuv. The way he puts it is this: I've got a better idea. Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just say to him, go? Don't make him all these promises of Lahanoska, Vescha the Goygodl, etc., etc. If you want to make it a real nisoyan, just tell him to go. By promising him all these things, it makes it it reduces the nisoyan. Our question. No, this is part of the actual test itself. Hagam sheyeda sheyelo shomo kol tov. Yes, I know over there I'm going to have all these wonderful things. But hoye ikkav nosarak l'shem shemayim leilech shomo mishum shetzivah kodesh baruch hu. The question is, why are you going? Is it because of your own self-interest, because you want to have fame, family, and fortune? Or are you going because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to go? L'kayim rak mitzvah Hashem yisparach. V'zeh v'yelech Avram b'chol zog rak kasher dibrei lo Hashem. And the idea is that Avram Avinu went not because of his personal advantage, but he went because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go. It's an amazing idea. It's an important idea. I mentioned, I forget when, but one time I mentioned something that my math teacher, Olav Hashalom, Mr. Jack Aldman, once told us. He said to us, boys, what is harder, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur or to fast on Yom Kippur? Which is the harder mitzvah, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur or to fast on Yom Kippur? And he said something interesting. He said, people think, of course, fasting on Yom Kippur is so difficult. Eating on Yom Kippur is much easier. He said, it's exactly the opposite. Because when I fast on Yom Kippur, there's only one reason why I fast. I fast because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to eat. I don't enjoy fasting. But when I eat on Erev Yom Kippur, I like kreplach, I like challah and honey, I like all the other things that we eat. So am I eating for my own personal interest, or am I eating because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Doing things l'shem shemaim is actually very difficult. And that is exactly the challenge for Avraham Avinu. Lech lecha me'atzuchol tevoschol anoschol, go for your own benefit. But do it because I said so, not because you're going to be personally advantaged because of it. How could Avram achieve this? The answer is, of course, the Medrash. The Medrash says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol ha'olam kula mi'eva echad v'hu mi'eva echad. Why was Avram Avinu later in the parasha called Avram ha'ivri? The answer is because Avram Avinu had tremendous fortitude and he didn't succumb to peer pressure. The whole world was on the other side of the river and he was on the other side. He didn't succumb. He had tremendous spiritual backbone. And he did things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and not because of any other ulterior motive. I came across an interesting insight recently. In Shakespearean England, in the late 16th century, the early 1600s, the fellow was describing the times of which Shakespeare was writing. And he made the following point. He said that the diet of the time was very heavy on sugar. They would put sugar in their meat and in their eggs and in their fish and certainly in their dessert, in everything. To the extent that many people, their teeth became black. Now, people who couldn't afford such a rich diet, they were embarrassed that their teeth weren't black. So they blackened their teeth. Peer pressure is so strong that you blacken your teeth to look like the people who have a richer diet, full of sugar, that they can blacken their teeth. That is peer pressure. The point is, Avraham Avinu does not succumb to peer pressure. He is on one side, the kol ha'olam kula mi'eva echad, and therefore he does things because the Rabbeinu Shalom tells him to do them. And that's exactly what the nisoyon of Lech Lecha was, to go, not because of tevoscha la'noscha, to go because I told you to go. Okay, now that's the end of the first piece. The second piece, which will be the rest of the shir, is, for me personally, it was something I looked into over Sukkot, like I mentioned in the Halacha shir. My wife and I had the tremendous blessing that we became grandparents on Yom Kippur. And we had a bris over Sukkot, and my son honored me to be the sanduk. So over Chol HaMoed, I was looking into the role of the sanduk, and I came across a wonderful essay that Rabbi Pesach Kron writes in his bris milah book. And I want to take some ideas from there, because it's very squarely related to this week's parsha. You see, in this week's parsha, the pasuk says, Vayehi Avram ben tishim shana v'teisha shanim, Vayeiru Hashem el Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram Avinu in this week's parsha. He's 99 years old. Vayomer Elov Ani Kel Shokai Hishalech Lefonai Vayesomim. And this is the first ever bris milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that you need to have the bris. And then Vayesomim. Only by having the bris will you achieve perfection, when you become perfect. The message, therefore, of bris milah is the striving for perfection. And amazingly, the Medrash makes a very interesting point. If you take a look at the box in 2b, this is a Medrash in Bereishis Rabba Parshut Aleph Simen Vav. Philosophus echot shalis Reb Hosheya. One philosopher once asked Reb Hosheya, Omele, im chavi vehi hamila, min plemalo nitna la'od marishon. If mila was so special, why wasn't it given earlier? And furthermore, why wasn't a man born with a bris milah there already? Why was he born in a way that he has to remove it after 8 days? So says the Medrash, to just produce a human being already gemalad, already having had the bris mila, we can't do. Anything which is created in the 6 days of creation, it needs further development, further work. Certain plants, you need to sweeten them. You can't just eat them directly from the ground. The wheat and the barley, when it comes from the ground, you've got to harvest it, you've got to crush it, you've got to make flour, then you bake delicious bread and cakes. Even a human being needs tikkun. A human being, a man, therefore, needs a tikkun, and the bris, therefore, on this child, is the culmination of his creation, i.e., after the wonder of conception and pregnancy and the formation of the embryo and birth, which itself is absolutely miraculous, then, and only then, you have the bris mila, and then is he called tomim. It's the culmination of the whole birth process. And not only is it the culmination, but it's also the inauguration. It's the inauguration, it's the beginning of the life of Torah and mitzvahs. So you see the bris mila is on one hand a culmination, it's the end of that whole creative cycle, and it's also the beginning of the new cycle of a life of Torah and mitzvahs is now entered into the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's bris mila. Now, as I said, I had the privilege to be a sandak. The role of the sandak is not just technical. It's not just technical to hold the baby on your lap whilst the moel does the bris mila. But more than that, he is bridging the centuries and he's binding this infant to all the generations past. And Chazal say it's akin, the role of the sandak is akin to bringing the keteres on the mizbeach. Now, amazingly, this has halachic implications. If you take a look at the top box on the next page, the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodei Hilchas Mila, in Simon Reish Samachay Sif Yud Aleph, Noyagin lahader acha mitzvah zu. And you should know many great gedolim, they run after the mitzvah of being a sandak. Many of the great gedolim, they can be a sandak on, you know, many times a day. And many people in Bnei Brak, I don't know about nowadays, but until quite recently, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I think, was a sandak on most days. Very rarely did he say tachanun, because you don't say tachanun at a bris. Of course, people would bring their child to Reb Chaim, and he would be the sandak. But they were mahada after this mitzvah. Liya sandak litva satinuk lemoyle, to hold the baby whilst it's having bris mila. Now listen to this. The yofa koyach hasandak mikoyach hamoyel. The koyach of the sandak is greater than that of the moyel. Lakdim lakriyas haTorah. If there's one aliyah going, the sandak has priority even off over the moyel. The kol sandak have a kamakdir kutores, because the sandak has got the same status as a kohen who's being makdir the kutores, the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. Velochein, and therefore, noagin shelo litin shnei elodim lebal bris echod. In one family, you shouldn't have one sandak for all the children. Kedamrinun gabi kutores, chadoshim le kutores. Just like the kutores, you try and have a different kohen each day, because when the kutores is like a segula for ashiras, for wealth, it's like winning the lottery. So don't let the same guy win the lottery twice. It's not fair. Share it out. So get another kohen to do the keteres. Chadoshim la keteres. Well, so too, with sandakos, you should try and share it out. It should not be the same sandak for all the children. They once asked the Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father, the stipler, they once said to him, you know, you've been a sandak so many times, and it's a school of ashiras for wealth. We don't see the wealth in your life. We've been to your house. It's a tiny little flat, and we don't see the ashiras. How can you explain that? So the stipler said, ashiras is subjective. Wealth is what you value as important. He said, I value my Torah learning and my Sfarim as important. And Baruch Hashem, he said, I've seen tremendous success in my Sfarim. The Kilas Yaakov, they grace every Beis HaMedrash and every yeshiva. So therefore, he said, I saw the school of ashiras. Okay, so you see that bris mila is connected very much to keteres. Amazingly, just like bris mila is the inauguration and the culmination, it's the culmination of the whole process of birth, etc. Only then can you achieve tamimus, that perfection. And it's also the inauguration, the beginning of a lifetime of Torah and mitzvahs. Exactly the same with keteres. Keteres is both the inauguration and the culmination. How so? Well, take a look. The Gemara in Pesachim says, in Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Ton Rabon, Ein lechadov shekoidim letomish al-shacha ele keteres bavad. The only thing that preceded the Tomish al-Shacharis was the Keturis. And likewise, the only thing that you had after the Tomet Shel Bein Arba'im was again the Keturis. So you had the Keturis first thing in the morning and the last thing in the afternoon. It was inauguration and it was a culmination. Moreover, the very, very first Keturis that was brought was also a culmination and an inauguration. How so? Because the Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Tetzaveh Siman Tesvav, to teach you how special Keturis was, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok ben Eliezer, Teidelecha, I'll prove it to you. The Keturis is amazing. Shenaaseh haMishkan, because the Mishkan was ready to be dedicated. It was built. V'chol Kelov and all the Kelim were ready to go. V'shochet es haKarbonos, they offered up all the Karbonos, v'krivu, v'arech al haMizbech, and they organized the Karbonos on the Mizbech, v'sider es haShulchan, and they organized the Shulchan with the loaves of bread, ves ha-menorah, ves ha-kol. Everything was ready, perfect. There was one thing missing. The Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't there. V'lo yorodo Shechina ad she'ekri ves ha-keturis. The Shechina didn't come until the Keturis was offered. So you see that the whole process of building the Mishkan was only finished off when the Keturis was offered up, and it was inauguration, because then that began the Chanukas HaMishkan, that began the life of the Mishkan. So you see that both the Kohen and the Sanduk, the Bris Mila, are participating, the Keturis and the Bris are both activities that simultaneously reflect backwards and reflect forward. Now, there is another interesting connection between Bris Mila and Keturis. Take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachai. The Rabbeinu Bachai talks about one of the 11 ingredients in the Keturis. One of them is Chelbana. Chelbana is a very strange ingredient to put into the Keturis, sweet-smelling spices. Chelbana has got a very bad smell. What's it doing in the Keturis? So look at the Rabbeinu Bachai, very powerful words. This is in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. The Chelbana Reichara. Chelbana, one of the 11 ingredients, has a very bad smell. The Afal Pike, nevertheless, it's still included amongst all the other spices in the Keturis. Ubal Limros, it comes to hint. We shouldn't dismiss the Rishoim who are Poshe Yisrael. They shouldn't be part of us, of our shuls, of our gatherings. Kamosh Amru Chazal, Kol Aguda She'ein Bami Poshe Yisrael, Eina Aguda. Any gathering where you've excluded those who are fall short and who are quite wicked, that's not called an aguda. But on the contrary, by including them, the Shem Shemaim is elevated. Because their exposure to tzaddikim and to the rest of Klal Yisrael will have a positive impact on them. Because if you don't include them, the tzaddikim will be taken to account for it. Because of this guarantee that we are guarantors for them. We're all one family. We all got to watch each other. That's why with lulav we have been commanded. The idea is you take all four minim by good achas and you hold them together. You put the arava, which has no tam and no reach, remez the Rishoy Yisrael, which alludes to Rishoyim, she'en lahem Torah mitzvahs, who have no Torah and mitzvahs, bichlal ha'esrog, you put it next to the esrog, she'yesh be'tam v'reach, or bichlal ha'lulav, she'yesh be'echel, v'hadash, she'yesh be'reach. You put them all together. V'onu merotzin HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kulam ke'echol. We please HaKadosh Baruch Hu by this aguda achas. So you see that the Keturis represents this symbiosis, this combination which is beneficial to both, of good and bad, of the chelbana, the tzaddikim, is good for the tzaddikim, it's good for the Rishon, this combination is very beneficial. The same is true with Bris Mila. Just like Keturis, the symbiosis, this combination, this bringing together is beneficial for the tzaddikim and for the Rishon, for the other ingredients and for the chelbana, well, so too for the Bris Mila. How so? So this is the idea. Bris Mila represents the sensual drive in a person. And we know that drive could be channeled in a very positive way or in a very negative way. We saw it 2 weeks ago. In Parshas Bereishis, Rashi says that why was the Nachash punished? The Nachash was punished. What caused him to try and entice Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? So Rashi says in Bereishis Perek Gimel Posek Aleph, V'hanochosh hoya orim. Says Rashi, Ma'inyan zelekan, hoyle lismach v'yas la'odam v'lishna k'tenis ervi abishen. Elelam metcha, to teach you. Me'eze ile kofat ha'nochosh aleim. What was the pretext? What was the reason that the Nochosh tried to entice Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? Ro'a oisom arumin. Because the Nochosh saw Adam and Chava unclothed. V'oiskin betashmish, they were involved in marital relations, le'ein kol, in front of everyone. V'nis avanon, he desired her. So you see that the same drive that brought death into the world because of his desire to be with Chava, and that caused ultimately Chava to sin and Adam to sin, it brought death into the world. Well, it's that same drive which brings life into this world. The sensual drive, if used appropriately and properly, can be used for Kedusha to bring children into this world. That was the point that Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan makes in his Sefer, The Waters of Eden. And this is exactly what Bris Mila represents. Bris Mila represents this symbiosis of bad and good. The Rambam famously in Moreh Nevuchim says that the removal of the Arla, the removal of the foreskin, it lessens the desire for sensual gratification. And the Ramban, we'll do in a second, represents this ability to dominate and channel that drive towards the purpose which HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. That's what the Ramban says in this week's Parsha. The Omer Batam Hamila says the Ramban, Sheshom zichrin be'eva hatayva rav hamahuma v'achet lebal yishtamshu boi rak mitzvah muta. You see that the Ramban is saying that the challenge is always to channel that desire to dominate and to use it for the purpose which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that yishtamshu rak b'mitzvah v'muta. So you see that again, the Bris Mila is this symbiosis, this combining of good and bad, beneficial for both. For in the case of Mila, the removal of the Arla is reducing the sensual gratification, and you'll be mekayim the mitzvah asay of Bris Mila at the same time. The Meshech Chochma in this week's parasha takes this just one step further. The Meshech Chochma notes that when the pasuk, which we say at a bris, Sos onoichi alim rosech al kometz yishol arov, the pasuk in Tehillim in Kuf Yud Tes. So the Gemara says that this refers to Mila. If you take a look at the Meshech Chochma, Sos onoichi alim rosech al kometz yishol arov, Dorish lebi Gemara, Perek Rabbi Lezer de Mila, al Mila sha'isin oso basimcha, that when you perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila, it should be performed with tremendous joy. Kein b'meitzi metzia. So too, when you find a metzia, you're walking in the park and you see a note on the floor. It's anonymous. It's got no simon. It's yours. It's a tremendous simcha. It's a windfall from nowhere. Somach v'sos b'metziyosa. You find you're very happy about it. V'noisav oid, says the Meshech Chochma, but you're even more happy. K'shehu sholol hanilkach misoyin hanilchem bo. If you're in war, and you take the booty of the enemy, there's a double simcha. Number one, I've got this windfall. And number two, I've taken away the ammunition and the wherewithal of my enemy. I'm now weakened my enemy. He's not going to be able to survive. I've destroyed my enemy. That's what David HaMelech is saying. Sos onoich alim rosecha. I am rejoicing over your Torah. Shasoni nechlash. Because not only am I loving your Torah, but through learning Torah, the enemy, the Yetzirah, is nechlash. Ve'im b'kach od l'tager b'melchoma. Because it's so barosi Yetzirah, barosi Torah tavlin. So there's a double-edged sword with learning Torah. Number one, sos onoich alim rosecha. I love the Torah. I'm enjoying, I'm learning, I'm engaged in it. Because it also weakens my enemy, the Yetzirah. And that is the connection to Mila. That's why we say this pasuk of Sos Anoich Elam Rosecha Kamoitz Yishol Rov the Mila, says the Meshech Chochma. Why? The Gamba Mila Yitokin Api Mashikosav HaMeira, because he's referring to this Meren Avuchim, this Rambam. The Rambam says in Meren Avuchim, Shemachalish Kach Taivas HaMishkol, the removal of the Arla lessens the desire for sensual gratification. And therefore, that I'm doing this mitzvah and I'm weakening the enemy, the negative aspects of this. So you see that the milah, if you like, represents the man's loftiest purpose, i.e. to dominate, to channel that drive away from anything which is negative, but to use it in a positive way for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So you see an amazing ideas that the connection between the Ketores and Bris Milah, and indeed Arba Minim, so many things are connected. So let's just summarize the two ideas we've shared this evening. The first idea was Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha Me'aretzucha, what is the Nisayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'tayvoscha L'hanoscha, it's for your benefit. If that's the case, what's the Nisayim? Who wouldn't go? Fame, family, and fortune are promised. The Teretz is, says Rav Shimon Sofer, that the challenge is to go not because you're going to be personally advantaged. To go because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. To do it L'shem Shemayim. And that's what Avram Avinu is. He's called Avram or Ivri, that he can withstand peer pressure. He does things only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. And the second idea is the first bris. The first ever bris takes place in this week's parsha. Avram Avinu is told, Hisalech lefona veheyeh somim, because you achieve perfection through bris milah. Bris milah represents the culmination of that process. Women don't need that final makabe patish, because they achieve perfection as ever much more quickly and just on birth. But for men, it's the process they need. It's just beyond the wonder of conception and of the formation of the embryo and pregnancy and birth. They need that stage of Mila to achieve the Tzmimus, the perfection. So you see that it's the culmination. But Bris Mila is not just the culmination, it's the inauguration, it's the beginning of a life of Torah Mitzvahs. You've now entered into a Bris. And that is exactly the connection with Sandakos. Sandak is considered to have brought Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ketores is the culmination and the inauguration. It's what started the day in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's what ends the day in the Beis HaMikdash. More than that, the first ever Ketores was used as the culmination of the program to dedicate the Beis HaMikdash, to dedicate the Mishkan. Everything was in place, but you needed the Ketores to be the final Makkah B'Patish, the final aspect to be the dedication of the Mishkan. And then the Mishkan was inaugurated for all time forward. And furthermore, there is another connection between Mila and Ketores, that just like Ketores is a symbiosis, is bringing together all aspects, the Chelbana and all the other Ketores, all the other Besomim. The 11 together is a symbiosis of bad and good, and it's dafka beneficial for both. And so too with Mila. Mila as well is a symbiosis of bad and good. You've got potential sensual drive which could be used negatively. That's what the Nochash did. But you've got ultimately this drive which is incredibly beneficial. It brings down life into this world. And that's exactly what the Rambam, Mir Nevuchim, and the Ramban in this week's Parsha are saying. That the challenge is always to channel that drive, that desire, and to use it in a positive sense. The Mila therefore represents the loftiest purpose of man. And that's really what the Meshech Chochma says. The Meshech Chochma is saying, that's why we say, there's a double-edged sword to this. It's not just finding a Metzia. When you find the Metzia of the enemy, and I've weakened the enemy, then there's a double Simcha. And that's true for Torah, because I'm learning Torah, and thereby I'm weakening the enemy, the Yetzer Hara. And it's true for Bris Milah, because through Bris Milah, I am using, I'm showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm taking this sensual drive, this kayach, this energy, and I'm channeling it towards the purpose which HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. So some very interesting ideas. Thank you for listening, and I wish you all a very good week and a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.